Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining me on the line right now is our district attorney, Leon Cannizzaro. How many times have you heard me say information is power? However, it does not end there. You have to appropriate it, collect it, disseminate it, analyze it, and collaboratively create meaningful strategies around it. The district attorney who joins us is going to talk about a program that accomplishes what I just described and possibly more. Leon, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. Thank you very much for having me.
Leon, very exciting announcement the other day about this battle of the opioid epidemic, the tragic consequences thereof, and a new way to go about collecting this information and then trying to do something about it. Tell us about it.
Well, this past week, the City Council passed an ordinance which basically approved the adoption of what we call OddMap. It stands for Overdose Detection Mapping Application Program. It essentially is another tool that has been given to law enforcement and public health officials to help us reduce the opioid-related deaths that are taking place in the city of New Orleans. This is an initiative that we proposed and got together in April of this year with people from the Louisiana Public Health Institute and the FBI Gang Task Force, trying to work with them to put together this program. This is essentially a software computer program that collects and provides overdose surveillance data to first responders, and it accesses across a variety of jurisdictions, not simply Orleans, but it encompasses other jurisdictions in the greater New Orleans area. And it informs them, it informs public health officials as well as law enforcement about people who are having overdoses, opioid overdoses, or opioid deaths as a result of overdoses. As I said, it allows for the public health and public safety responders to go to these high overdose areas and to sort of address the problems that we're facing there. It's really new that the street violence in New Orleans is linked quite directly to the drug activity. And overdose deaths, as you also aware, have surpassed the number of murders in the greater New Orleans area. So I'm certainly glad that we've been able to get a recommendation from the city of New Orleans. The city has supported this. This program has worked elsewhere. As I said, enabling health officials, social workers, and law enforcement authorities to respond quickly in areas where overdoses and fatal overdoses have spiked. We see this. This is a program that originates from the HIDA, the high-intensity drug trafficking areas developed in the Washington, D.C. and Baltimore area, where they would track the frequency and the severity of the overdoses, enabling what they considered to be strategic analysis and responses by the healthcare providers, the social workers, as well as law enforcement officials. This is not simply about learning about an overdose or learning about an overdose death and the police responding. This is about bringing out social workers, public health officials, to try to deal with the problem, to address the addiction that is very, very prevalent in this area. And it also allows law enforcement to go after those individuals who are essentially making a profit on the misery of others. So it's something, you know, we're very, very excited about. It essentially allows for $350,000 to be given to a variety of some of the players in criminal justice over the next 2 years. There is a New Orleans, we're going to call it, the $357,000 will be given to a New Orleans Rapid Response Overdose Homicide Unit, which is going to consist of a coroner's investigator, who will be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in conjunction with an assistant district attorney and a multi-jurisdictional case advocate to help assess, investigate, and prosecute those drug dealers responsible for the overdose deaths. We will be working closely with our federal partners in the U.S. Attorney's Office to deal with those cases that also might be more appropriately prosecuted in the federal courts.
Leon, let's discuss the public health aspect of this first. Obviously, the statistics speak for themselves. We know the gravity of the situation. But it occurred to me that one of the benefits of this, as I've read a number of articles around the country, is that a lot of ERs are having an unusual circumstance presented to them. Many times they don't know what the drug is that they're dealing with. It may be opioid-based. They don't know what it's laced with, whether it's cartenafil, whether it's fentanyl, whether it's some of these other drugs that are 100 to 1,000 times stronger than the base drug, meaning the opioid. So when you collect this data real time and you have a similar circumstance within a few hours and someone presents to the ER and you're able to say this is from the basically same neighborhood, same area, a lot of times it gives them the starting point to suspect that maybe it's from the same dealer and we need to take a more aggressive approach in the ER if we're going to save somebody's life.
Well, there's no question about that, Neil. And I think, as you indicated, when you start to see some of the overdoses, again, it's not simply law enforcement going out there. It's just as much as involves the healthcare professionals and the social workers to go and address the individuals that may be suffering from substance abuse issues, get them the treatment, get them the necessary help that they need. And hopefully in those conversations, they can gather intelligence. Sometimes we get information, as you well know, from a variety of sources, and we get it sometimes from the social workers who are out there gathering information about how this particular person might have come into contact with the narcotics, who gave it to them. And then they can certainly provide that to law enforcement, who can use it to make cases against the individuals. You're right. It's about concentrating on neighborhoods where we see there are spikes in the overdoses or the overdose deaths. Focus our resources and our effort on that, to not just prosecute, but also to provide treatment and medical services where we can maybe make a difference in someone's life.
And obviously being able to do these relational analyses, you put more power in the hands of not only the caseworkers, the public health officials, but more importantly, frontline law enforcement, who, by the way, is at risk nowadays with exposure to fentanyl, exposure to cartenafil and others, that just simply touching it can be toxic.
Well, you know, like I said, we are seeing, you know, unfortunately, a large number of people in New Orleans who are being involved with it. As you know, it's a cutting agent for the heroin, so it allows for the dealer to get the product out there a little cheaper. From his perspective, he can get more of it out there, and it sort of enhances his profits. But it becomes an extremely dangerous drug to anyone who may be addicted to heroin and who feels they have to get that heroin. And you do not know what is going to be in that mix that they are ultimately using.
There is has been some, I guess, criticism of going after the individuals with what are called drug-induced homicides, you know, going after the individuals on the supply side and making them face the music, so to speak, as it relates to a homicide charge. How do you address your detractors on that issue?
If you're talking about the people who sell the drugs, if someone were to sell a drug to someone else, they ingest that and they die. In Louisiana, the law right now is that's considered a second-degree murder. The drug dealer essentially causes the death to the individual. You're right. Some people have a problem with that, in that they say, look, well, if that person is foolish enough to go out and use drugs, then he's going to have to suffer the consequences that are out there. But again, you know, the legislature has seen this differently. It is a violation. It is a violation of the second-degree murder statute. And we look at these on a case-by-case basis. It's going to depend on the individual, how large of a dealer, how much is he involved in the game, so to speak, what's his background with regard to dealing. And in some cases, we will not necessarily pursue the second-degree murder charge. Again, it's a discretionary call, and we have to look at the facts and circumstances of each case.
But it is a useful tool in order to get source identification and disruption, right?
There's no question about it. When someone, we've had some cases where people say, well, look, all I did was sell drugs. I didn't kill anybody. And then we explain to them what the second-degree murder statute says. You certainly get a very different response from them. And sometimes it can allow them to facilitate and cooperate with us and let us know who might be involved, who's a larger distributor of the narcotics, and it helps sort of work our way up the chain, which is what we're always looking to do, to try to get to the Mr. Big or the main players and try to stop the supply of narcotics into a particular area.
And everyone knows that there's a whole host of empirical data that reveals that with that, there's a certain level of violence in the streets of any number of communities across this country that's directly related to these sources, and they're trying to manipulate a certain geographic area for their own benefit.
There's no question about that, Newell. In fact, I think once we can solve the drug problem, we can certainly solve the crime problem, especially the violent crime problem. That is certainly what fuels a majority of the homicides that take place in New Orleans.
So let me just say congratulations on this cooperative effort. I really like the rapid response team. I think that's going to yield some great results in working together with the coroner's office, having a case advocate as well as an ADA as part of that. I think will be a really a nice step in the right direction.
Well, we're looking forward to it. As I said, they've given us $357,000 in a federal grant for the next 2 years. I'm hoping that we can be successful with this. They're certainly going to be tracking our success. They're going to be looking at it and see how we do. And like I said, it's very, very important for us to try to address this problem. And I think it's for the first time where we see people that are going to be working together, people from health services, social work, and law enforcement, all working together in a particular area, working to try to help people to get them off the drugs, and at the same time going after those individuals who are profiting as a result of this.
So. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning to explain the program, and we wish the best of luck and much success on this program as well.
Thank you very much, Noah.
All right, that's Leon Canizzaro, the district attorney for the Parish of Orleans. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. I don't know about you, but this opioid crisis continues to grow, continues to reveal itself, continues to wreak havoc in communities across this country. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.